T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Live from downtown San Francisco, this is 95.7 The Game.
Yeah, for the first time in, 20 months, 49ers will be playing at home tonight in a game that matters in front of the faithful, perhaps in front of you. Hope you're enjoying your big, fat, football Sunday banquet with a main course yet to come. Taking you up to Bonte and Butch in our pregame at 4. Whitey Gleason, Shamari Block, two guys from Vallejo with you on 95.7 The Game. Shamari, before we get to the 49ers and Packers, it's already been a very, very eventful day around the NFL. What has jumped out to you so far from around the league? And more importantly, how the heck are you?
Doing well, Whitey. Doing well. I'm feeling good. I'm feeling like Nick Bosa about to chow down on his favorite Sunday night dinner tonight, man. He's got to be excited about that. The thing that struck me is a game we just got done listening to on here on 95.7 The Game. The Chiefs 1-2, and so close, Whitey, to 0-3.
They stink.
The mighty Chiefs are a couple of bad decisions by the Cleveland Browns away from being 0-3, Whitey, after two straight Super Bowl appearances. You never know in the NFL, do you? You never really know. You never really know who's at the top of the game. Every season is its own. You know, it takes its own life. And right now, do you really think the Chiefs are a contender? Do you see the Chiefs as contenders the same way you did at the beginning of the season?
No, certainly not. How about the fact that the Chiefs and the Steelers right now combined, 2-4? Now, I know some people are going to be surprised that Cincinnati beat the Steelers today, but I remember there was somebody I was talking to last week, and I was telling them, you know, Cincinnati has a chance, if things come together, to be a surprise team this year. And I think it was you that I was talking to, Shamari. Do you remember that?
I do. Yeah, and okay. I was telling you that I'm a Joe Burrow guy, right? And I'm a Joe Burrow guy, and Ben Roethlisberger is old, and he's not Tom Brady. He is 44-year-old Steve DeBerg old, and he's not even 44.
Yeah, a couple other things today, and then we'll get to the 49ers and Packers. But Jamal Agnew today of the Jags returned a missed field goal try. Matt Prater tried a 68-yarder for Arizona, missed it. Jamal Agnew, as you may have seen, returned it 109 yards for a touchdown. Longest play in NFL history. And how about this, Shamari? I was reading a story a couple days ago that home field advantage in the NFL, it ain't what it used to be. By my count, I think 6 of the 9 road teams have won today. 6 of 9 road teams winning. I don't know. Is that a bad omen for the 49ers? So excited to be back home tonight against the Packers?
I mean, if you're superstitious, then it's a good omen because you believe that those numbers are going to even out. So the more home teams that lose, the more likely, you know, again, if we're talking superstition, right, the more likely it is. I feel that number is good for the Niners, Whitey.
Are you saying that's a good number? Okay.
Yeah, that's a trend because it's going to balance out. It's going to be 50-50 or something by the end of the day, and the Niners might be the benefactors of the fact that a bunch of home teams blew it today so far.
All right. By the way, Justin Tucker with, I think, a 66-yarder to beat the Lions on the last play of the game, and it hit the crossbar and bounced up and went over. It's good. It was like, remember Kawhi's shot against the Sixers?
Holy, okay. First things first, Justin Tucker's my kicker. in one of my fantasy leagues. So how many fantasy points is that worth? Second, man. Wait, wasn't the previous record 64? And wasn't every record kicked in Denver, Colorado? So, man, Justin Tucker. You hear that guy has a leg, but goodness gracious, man. 66, not a mile high in the mountains?
Yes, and I'm waiting for confirmation. I know they said 66 on TV. Now, I haven't seen confirmation of that's what it was, and that was the record. But, yeah, that was incredible. So,
Jason Elam, right? Was that who did it? He was the Broncos kicker. Jason Elam did 64, 20-something years ago.
Didn't Seabass also do that, or did he tie it? Anyway, we'll have to check on the particulars of the field goal record, which may have been broken today. I think the game tonight, Shamari, for the 49ers, to me it comes down to three big questions. So let me lay them out there, and then we can circle back and tackle them and see if you agree, disagree, what you think of what I got here. One is how can the 49ers run the ball with their top four backs hurt? Question two is, which is the bigger mismatch here? Is it the 49er pass rush versus Green Bay's third string left tackle, or is it Aaron Rodgers against the 49ers corners? And then thirdly, of course, how much Trey Lance will we see tonight? And could Trey Lance be part of the solution to problem number one? Are they going to need Trey Lance to run the ball? Obviously, it's a football game. There's a lot going on. To me, the way I look at it right now, this game boils down to those three questions.
Okay, I'm going to start with the Trey Lance thing. And I'm going to start with it for this reason right here. If you're looking for Trey Lance to come in and impact this game as a runner, that's not going to get it cut. That's not going to cut it this week because you got Aaron Rodgers on the other side of the field. So if Trey Lance or whoever makes the plays in this game offensively, they're going to do it throwing the football, Whitey, because you're not going to have to score 40 points, but you're going to have to put up some points against Aaron Rodgers. And I don't think you could dink and dunk and screen your way against Aaron Rodgers and expect to have a good outcome. So if Trey Lance makes an impact in this game, Whitey, it's going to be as a passer, throwing the ball down the field, kind of like we saw in the early preseason before Shanahan brings him in week one and has him run the ball three times for some insane reason.
By the way, you know that on an NFL Sunday, we're dealing with overs and unders and point spreads, and I just want to let you know the official over-under on how many nice things Shamari says about Jimmy Garoppolo today. I got it, Sterling and Sam, I don't know where you guys have it. I have it at 5.5. That, to me, is the over-under. Is that the official line? Is that close to the official line on how many nice things Shamari says today about Jimmy Garoppolo?
I would take a hard under there.
Jimmy Garoppolo has perfect teeth and a great smile. That's
see,
two.
We can't include That's backhanded two. Compliments, though.
No, those don't count. It has to be about Jimmy G, the quarterback.
And going after his appearance, that's such low-hanging fruit. Like, everyone can agree he's a good-looking guy. We're talking about between the lines, though.
And Shamari, you know, you're not obligated to say anything nice about him. We're not, you know, this isn't a test of whether you can say something nice. It's just our estimation. Knowing that you're not a big Jimmy G fan, you got to admit he's he played pretty well two games in.
Did he, Whitey? Wait.
Yes.
Oh, see, here's the thing. I was about to say how great a teammate he is, what a great locker room guy he is, and, you know, that he's a stand-up guy on the football field. But I don't know that you can call what happened last week, quote-unquote, playing well. What do you think your completion percentage would be on screen passes as an NFL quarterback?
We used to run when I played, you know, Pop Warner, we ran that swing pass. It was my favorite play because the shoulder pads were so big, it was hard to throw the ball in the swing pass. You just dump it out there. So I think it would be pretty good. I could probably, you know, to be on it, this is low for an NFL quarterback, but I'll be up in the high 60s easily.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And you know, Jimmy threw a lot of screen passes, and that was a game plan. That's what Shanahan asked him to do, and I'm not knocking him for that. I just don't know how much – if you ask me who won last week's game, it was that defense going out there time and time again with their backs against the wall in critical situations, bending and not breaking and only allowing 11 points.
You know that Jimmy Garoppolo has never – Sterling just informed me of this. Thank you, Sterling. Jimmy Garoppolo has never lost a game as a starter on Sunday Night Football. It has never happened, Shamari. That has never happened.
Whitey, I'm knocking on wood now. Thank goodness that this desk here is made of actual wood. I'm superstitious. You can't say things like that. If it goes sideways, Whitey, it's on you. Because you said the N-word. And by N-word, I mean never.
Yeah. Right. Do you know also, and I apologize, I cut you off there. I want to get back to what
No doubt.
Yeah. Do you know that Jimmy G has never gone three games without throwing an interception? And if he gets through tonight, which I expect he will for the first time, that'll be three straight games with no interceptions thrown for the Jimmy G, the G as in great, the great Garoppolo.
G as in good. Also, is also a G word, according to Sesame Street when I was a kid. That would be spectacular. I'll be honest with you. If Jimmy Garoppolo cuts his interceptions in half, which was 16 in 2019, the year that everybody said it was so great, 16 picks. If he cuts that to 8, I kind of don't really care what he does this season. And then I'm going to be like a Jimmy guy. Whatever. I will help him. I will. Okay, here's the deal. If Jimmy Garoppolo throws 8 picks instead of 16 this season, starting a full season, I will throw roses at his feet as he leaves town at the end of the season, man. Because that's the end game here. That's what we're looking at next season. When we get to February, win, lose, or draw, Jimmy Garoppolo's headed somewhere else, right? And that's just – those are the facts. I'm not saying it's a good thing. I'm not saying it's a bad thing. I'm saying that's what's going to happen. And to that point, the best thing he can do, he doesn't need to throw for 5,000 yards. He doesn't need to throw for 40 touchdowns. If he gets that pick total down to 8 –
you know what?
Job well done, Jimmy. Job well done.
Yeah. Our sources inform us that in 2019, Jimmy G only threw 13 interceptions. You have him with 16, and I don't think that's fair. I think it's a cheap shot.
Does that include the ones that he threw in the Minnesota game and the playoffs?
It doesn't include the postseason. You're right. We're not including the postseason. So, okay, fair enough. By the way, speaking of numbers, just circling back to clarify on the longest field goals. Longest field goals in NFL history, number 6, David Akers, 63 yards, may remember, versus the Packers when he kicked for the 49ers. Seabass, a 63-yarder against Denver. Jason Elam of Denver, a 63-yarder versus Jacksonville. Tom Dempsey, years ago, early 70s, 63-yarder versus the Lions. Matt Prater held the record, 64 yards versus the Titans in 2013, Matt Prater with the Broncos. But today, your kicker, Shamari, Justin Tucker, with a new NFL record, winning the game with a walk-off 66-yarder that hit the crossbar, bounced up, bloop, and over for the game winner. Congratulations. Shamari, congratulations, Justin Tucker.
Okay, wait. So when you talk about Dempsey, that was in the 70s, right? When did the soccer-style kicker come in? Because when I think about a kicker in the 70s, was that the old straight-on kicker before the soccer-style kicker developed?
Well, it's an interesting story. Tom Dempsey, yeah, he was a straight-on kicker, and honestly, I kid you not.
He was a straight-on kicker, and he kicked it 63 yards?
He did not have his entire foot. And in fact, teams, after he kicked a 63-yarder, he had like a little more than half of a shoe would have had like a block on the end of it. And I remember some teams complained about it at the time when this guy kicked a 63-yarder. Yeah, I believe he had a couple of birth defects, including he didn't have his kicking foot. He didn't have the whole foot. So it's quite a story. Tom Dempsey, he held the record for many years. But, Prater then broke it in 2013. Many guys tied it. Prater broke it. And then Justin Tucker breaking Prater's record today.
Wow. But, I mean, to me, the biggest thing is 66 yards. That's – I mean, because you saw a 68-yarder attempted today, and that thing landed in the end zone. thing landed in the end zone and had no chance, okay? If he kicks that from 66, I don't think that makes it across the uprights. I don't even know, Whitey, if it reaches the crossbar in that situation. But you know what the part that I love the most is that it hit the crossbar. It was just over the, it was just close enough. And had he split the uprights and, went through with no problem, that kind of would have been less dramatic, right? You have that instant of holding your breath. You're like, oh, my God, is it good? And you're looking down at the referees at each side of the goalpost trying to figure out what's going on, and they both throw their hands up, and you're like, holy crap. This dude just pulled it off, man. Yeah.
And the Lions, the lie downs, lose again. Wah, wah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, hey, it's the Lions. And there's no moral victories unless you're a Lions fan. Then your entire life is moral victories. And it's like, well, hey, it took an all-time field goal to beat us today. It took a lot less than previous weeks. But today, it took an all-time record-breaking, probably won't be touched ever, at least not for a while, field goal to beat us. So keep your head up, Lions fans and Detroit Lions and generally the state in Michigan in general. You know, keep your head up, man. All the people in Flint. You can't have clean drinking water, apparently, but you can have moral victories if you live in the state of Michigan.
It's already been an incredible NFL Sunday, and we're just getting warmed up with the main course, as I said, to come tonight with the Packers and the 49ers, and we're taking you up to the pregame. Bonte and Shasky coming to us from the Santa Clara Hilton. Speaking of, you can elevate your tailgate. It's back this season featuring the Morning Roast, Joe Shasky. In the debut episode of Elevate Your Tailgate, Joe joined by Bonte Hill. Check out the latest episode on 957thegame.com and on the 95.7 The Game social channels, pardon me. Elevate Your Tailgate, brought to you by Chef's Toys, a kitchen and restaurant supply store trusted by grill masters and tailgate kings. Visit chefstoys.com or a store near you. Coming up next, big story today, huh? How close were the 49ers to landing Aaron Rodgers? That's next with Shamari Block and me, Whitey Gleason, on 95.7 The Game.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL Draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Now back to 95.7 The Game.
Just two guys from Vallejo with you. Whitey Gleason, Shamari Block, 95.7 The Game. Checking out the text line here, 888-957-9570. I got a question for you on the text line and the football phone, as we call it on these NFL Sundays. Before we get to that, Shamari, here's a couple of comments we have so far from the 408. No home field advantage for the Raiders. A lot of Dolphin fans and empty seats. This will be an issue moving forward. I think we talked about that last week. We'll keep an eye on that. But also as far as home field advantage, as we mentioned earlier in the program, home field advantage in the NFL, it ain't what it used to be. So far, you got road teams winning at a record rate. And then today, as I said, I believe first nine games, a road team won six of those. So nobody seems to have the home field advantage they used to have, and that includes any team in the National Football League.
Yeah, but I feel it's especially going to be an issue for the Raiders because it's full of Dolphin fans, man. Everybody, every fan base is going to be like, all right, everybody, we're going to Vegas. We're playing the Raiders. We're going to Vegas. We're gonna drink. We're going to gamble. We're going to get up with hangovers and go watch a game, and we're going to hop on planes and get out of there, man. The city of Oakland has roughly the same population as the city of Las Vegas. The only thing is that once you get outside of Vegas, there's desert. And then when you get outside of Oakland, there's, you know, more people. So if the Raiders couldn't sell out at the Coliseum, they're not going to sell too many tickets in Las Vegas, at least not to people that are showing up to support their team. And mark my words, Whitey, okay? Because one day a free agent is going to be trying to decide whether he wants to go to Vegas or somewhere else. And he's going to think about that, that all of your home games, you're going to be the away team. And he's going to sign somewhere else. And the Raiders are going to, they're going to rule the day, Whitey. They're going to rule the day they left Oakland.
I haven't been to Vegas in a while. One thing I've heard, and this was frankly a couple of years ago, I heard that people in Vegas, fans, love the Golden Knights. They consider the hockey team their own, and they really embrace the Golden Knights. And the Raiders are more, yeah, that's nice. They're not really, you know, they came here from somewhere else. So we'll see if Vegas fans learn to appreciate the Raiders anything close to the way they appreciate the hockey team there. Also on the text line, 888-957-9570, from the 415. Actually, this is from Danker. Thank you, Danker. What's not fair is when people give Jimmy credit for going to the Super Bowl when it was really because of the defense giving Jimmy the shortest field any QB had that season. So, I don't know. Did you help him with that text there, Shamari?
I didn't, but that's legit, though, man. I'm Danker, I feel you. And that's the thing is I'm never, ever knocking Jimmy G. By the way, Jimmy G did throw – by the way, Jimmy drew 13 regular season picks, 3 postseason picks, 16 picks, okay? But then there,
point Shamari. Point Shamari.
Well,
job.
I'm not – Jimmy G is fine. He's fine. He's good. But when people say, in his defense, he led the team to the Super Bowl, Jimmy Garoppolo was a member of a Super Bowl team. But Aaron Rodgers has led his team to a Super Bowl. Tom Brady leads his team to Super Bowls. Russell Wilson leads his team to Super Bowls. And no one ever said Brad Johnson led the Tampa Bay Buccaneers to a Super Bowl win. No one ever says that about Brad Johnson. But Jimmy Garoppolo gets the same thing said about him, and his contribution was about that of Brad Johnson's.
But if you quarterback a team, that's the most important position, and we can quibble about whether he led them to the Super Bowl. I mean, the quarterback is the offensive leader. Doesn't he deserve some credit for being the quarterback on a team that got to the Super Bowl? Whether we're talking Brad Johnson or Jimmy Garoppolo, and you look at the numbers he put up, they dwarf, you know, numbers that Brad Johnson or Trent Dilfer put up. Doesn't he deserve a lot of credit for being the quarterback on a team that got to the Super Bowl?
Doesn't Trent Dilfer? Trent Dilfer was gone. Trent Dilfer won a Super Bowl and got shipped out of town.
Are you saying Jimmy Garoppolo contributed no more to the 49ers than Trent Dilfer did to the Ravens?
No, he definitely contributed more than Trent Dilfer did. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that the idea that he shouldn't be replaced, that he's invaluable and all that kind of stuff, I just don't believe that. I feel that Jimmy Garoppolo is a good NFL quarterback, and he's good enough to have gotten you to a Super Bowl because, you know, again, he didn't throw too many picks, and he made enough plays. But the idea that he's up there in the stratosphere of all-time winning guys because he has a stellar winning record, so here's the deal. Nick Mullins, C.J. Beathard, they lose games when they lose them. They are active in the losing process. Jimmy Garoppolo is not active in the losing process. He's also not active in the winning process, and he's kind of neutral. And whatever your team is, he allows you to be. And he's not going to take a bad team and make it great. And he's not going to elevate a mediocre team into the next level. And that's all I'm saying about him. And that's why that's why Shanahan recognized this. And that's why he went out and was trying to get Aaron Rodgers and was trying to get Tom Brady and was trying to get Matthew Stafford. And trust me, they're not going to admit it now. But they were talking to the Texans about Deshaun Watson before Deshaun Watson, you know, that happened, right? And they've wanted to upgrade on Jimmy Garoppolo for a while, and rightfully so.
Yeah, you obviously have a very strong argument you can make, and you've done so skillfully already. But there's also this part of the equation this year with Trey Lance backing up Jimmy was, hey, we don't know how long Jimmy's going to be here, but maybe having Trey Lance, you know, his footsteps creeping up on Jimmy, maybe that gives you the best Jimmy Garoppolo we've ever had. We'll see. That would just help us win, at least in the short term. So far, two games in, Garoppolo's completing 70.9% of his passes, 503 yards, 2 touchdowns, No interceptions. Yards per attempt, 9.15. That is seventh. That's yards per attempt, seventh. Passer rating of 111.4. That's ninth best. So far, Jimmy Garoppolo, not only is he 2-0, he's been very good. That doesn't mean that in the past he led them to the Super Bowl. It doesn't mean it will continue. But two games in, I think he's been a huge part of both victories for the 49ers.
I would say the defense that held the Eagles to 11 points was a bigger factor, because they only scored 17. And do you think, Whitey, that 17 beats Aaron Rodgers and the Packers today? Because I do not. I do not. And the question is that we don't know yet, because it's so early in the season, is how good is that Eagles defense really, right? We don't know yet. If the Eagles defense turns out to be elite and it's going to be a cakewalk the rest of the way, then maybe you got something. But if the Eagles defense is kind of middle, high-ish, middle of the pack like we think, and he struggled against them, the Packers game is going to tell us a lot. Tonight's game, I don't feel we know anything about the Niners just yet, and we're not going to have an idea of who they are tonight, but I feel after tonight's game, we're going to have a really good sense of what this team's potential is, and it's not the thing that everybody's been doing over the past summer, is that, oh, well, we get Bosa back, we get this back, and now we're this, we're 2019. I don't feel the parallels for 2019 are as close as everybody thinks, because the defense, not as good. The run game is not going to be as good. The offensive weapons in terms of the passing game are better, and you have different strengths for this team. And the question is, do you take advantage of it? Because I feel like the two most potent parts of this team this year are the defensive line, which isn't as good as 2019, but it's still damn good, and the passing game with Debo and Kittle and Ayuk and Sherfield and Sanu, where you got some depth there. And I feel like, honestly, the best version of this team throws the ball all over the field to all of those weapons and runs the ball because you have to. But, I mean, do you think people are going to crowd the line of scrimmage to stop Trent Cannon? I wouldn't.
By the way, Kittle has 8 catches in 2 games. He has 9 targets, so, I mean, if you throw it to him, he's going to catch it, but only 8 targets. So, yeah, something to keep an eye on. I think the Packers, and who knows, it's football. One thing we learned last year is you never know, and you mentioned that already in the NFL. Who knows? If the 49ers take care of the football tonight, I know there are also hangover issues potentially coming off the road. I think the Packers are really in a world of hurt tonight, because one thing we know about the 49ers, they were built from the inside out. And I think on both sides here, offensively and defensively, up front, the 49ers have the opportunity to dominate Green Bay. And I know it's easy to focus on, wow, Aaron Rodgers is way better than Jimmy Garoppolo, and Aaron Rodgers against, you know, some of these corners. Mosley's back, but no Verrett. Wow, it could be a mismatch. I mentioned that earlier. But Green Bay is playing their third-string left tackle against the 49ers. Yeah. I think it's
against
a guy
Nick
named
Bosa.
Yeah, it's Billy Turner, who actually is a right tackle, but they probably are going to swing him over to left tackle. So that is bad news. And up front defensively, I think the Packers are 25th against the run and 26th against the pass. It's football, you never know. And that defensively, they did play better in the second half against the Lions. That was a nationally televised game. A lot of people saw that. But I think there's a real chance that Green Bay is in for, once again, another big-time hurting at Levi's. I know last year it was a very one-sided game when all of the 49ers, you guys can't play because you had a fake COVID test and Jimmy didn't play. So last year was a different story. But I think there's every opportunity for the 49ers to just run the ball down their throats tonight.
And how do you stop Aaron Rodgers, man? You put him on his back. And in 2019, 2 games against the Packers, Aaron Rodgers looked like, you know what I'm talking about. You remember that mm-hmm. in the middle of that first game in the regular season, they zoomed in on Aaron Rodgers' face, and he had the look of bewilderment and just defeatedness and all these other things, right? It was insane. And if you can do that to Rodgers, you can beat the Packers. And I feel that, I mean, nothing against anybody named Billy or the last name Turner, but without even knowing anything, like if I'm Nick Bosa and you're like, oh, who's going to be blocking me? Billy Turner? Oh, it's all good. Like Billy Turner just sounds like a guy that's not going to stop you from doing anything, right? It's like, oh, he's just going to turn. He's a turnstile. No, man. I do believe that, you know, the defense is going to have a profound effect on this game. I also believe that 17 points is not going to cut it this week. It's not going to cut it this week. And the Packers are down a Smith brother, Preston Za'Darius. I don't know which one is out exactly.
Za'Darius.
Okay, so Za'Darius is out. Preston Smith is still in the mix. That's going to make the pass rush a little bit less potent. But we have our own Billy Turner at right tackle, Mike McGlinchey. And how does he hold up against, you know, whoever comes in to replace Za'Darius Smith? I don't know. But they're going to have to put up more than 17. Is the moral of the story, kid, 17 points is not going to cut it this week. And how good is this offense really? I feel that in three examples, right, two really good offensive games, one game where you don't put up a lot of points. They put up some points tonight. You can feel pretty confident about this team moving forward. But if they don't, and you have 1-2 where you have two low point total outputs, Then I think we should be worried, right? You have to be, right? Another 17 points put up tonight, that's going to scare you about the rest of the season, right? This has to.
Well, it depends how it happens. I mean, if they win, and I agree with you. I mean, I think their 17 probably won't win, but if they're really controlling clock and Green Bay can't get anything going and they win, you know, like 21-14, something like that, and it's just a grinded out game where they wrap around the Packers like a boa constrictor and just squeeze the life out of them, I don't think that would be a bad sign. I will say this about those 2019 games that you cited. In one of those games, of course, the NFC Championship game, I think Jimmy completed like 75% of his passes. Well, unbelievable. He was so on target.
Seven for eight. Yes, I remember that game.
Yeah. See, I think he was 6 for 8, but yeah, you get my point. But in those two games, Aaron Rodgers reminded me of you play flag football and it's three alligator rush and the other team, they don't count to three. And you're like, hey, you guys got to count to three.
We did seven. You were playing some hardcore two-hand touch.
Seven alligators.
We did seven alligators, man. Yeah. Oh, boy. Okay. Yeah. Three alligators? Oh, boy.
Six alligators. We got to quit. It's time to go to school. Yeah. But he just had that look. You described the look on his face like, come on, guys.
Three. What?
You
know?
You got to count. You got to count your alligators. Speaking of Aaron Rodgers, this was a story that made the rounds today. NFL media reporting. Although I think we already knew this, didn't we? Ian Rappaport with the story that sources say the 49ers were Aaron Rodgers' top choice when it came to a new destination this offseason. So when the 49ers called up Matt LaFleur, when Kyle Shanahan called him up and Matt LaFleur addressed that call this week, so we know what happened, it was done because the 49ers got word that Rodgers was more than into it. And Aaron Rodgers discussed it this week. He said, there were points where I thought anything was possible, definitely, but not a strong possibility. So I don't know, Shamar. It's somewhat interesting, and obviously it's something to talk about with the two teams playing, but I thought we already knew that Aaron Rodgers wanted to come here.
Of course we did. He was a Niners fan. He's wanted to come here since 2005 when Mike Nolan blew it. Mike Nolan blew it. And Whitey, there is no bigger Alex Smith supporter than me, okay? I guarantee you, okay? I defended Alex Smith to the end. I will still defend his play in his worst seasons. And that guy, he's not necessarily an NFL Hall of Famer, but in like the Hart Hall of Fame, man, that dude is a first ballot entrant, okay? But Aaron Rodgers is better than him. That's just fact. Aaron Rodgers is better, and they blew it, and he always wanted to be a Niner, and that follows. Where was he going to go? The Lions? You know? And honestly, furthermore, Whitey, think about this. Let's rewind to the offseason last season, right? Think about the teams that didn't have quarterbacks and that were looking for them. The Jacksonville Jaguars, the Chicago Bears, the Denver Broncos, right? And who else we want to throw in there? The Jets, okay? The Niners were by far the best option. Any quarterback looking to go somewhere. Brady wanted to go to the Niners too. That story didn't come out. But I still, until the day I die, I will tell you, I will swear up and down that when Tom Brady said that mother blanker, he was talking about Jimmy Garoppolo.
Agreed. 100% right? Agree with you. 100% agree.
Yeah, right. No, man. So yeah. Of course, the Niners, man. You got all those weapons. Who wouldn't want to throw the Kittle? Like, just throwing a Kittle by itself is worth the price of admission if you're a quarterback.
Let me ask you this. I said I had a project for everybody at 888-957-9570. As I've been thinking about this game, and I agree with everything you just said, as I've been thinking about this game, Packers, 49ers, and all it means, I remembered something. The first football game my dad ever took me to was 49ers, Packers.
Oh, wow.
Way back. It was at Kezar Stadium, okay? So it was a long time ago. And my dad, we went to a lot of baseball games, not a ton of football games, and he wanted me to see some of the best quarterbacks. I actually got to see, although I can barely remember, Bart Starr. So that was my first football game, was the 49ers and the Packers. So I wanted to ask you, Shamari, and everybody at 888-957-9570, on this glorious football Sunday, what's the first NFL game you ever saw, and what do you remember the most about it? I just remember my dad went to get me a hot dog, and he was gone forever, and he missed the first touchdown of the game, and he wasn't real happy about that. But that's one of the things I remember about that. But, yeah, Packers 49ers was the first NFL game that I ever saw. We went to more, you know, living in Vallejo, we went to more Raider games than 49er games. But the first game I ever went to was a 49er game.
The first time game I went to was a 49ers game, and I was like something like 18, somewhere about there. I lived in Sacramento because we also went to way more Giants games than we did Niners games, which is to say, because Niners tickets, Giants tickets were cheap, man. Like, we would go to Giants just on a whim, right? Just like, hey, a dollar to get in. You can bring a cooler. They don't care. Just, they're like, please, just show up in the 80s and the 90s for the Giants, right? Because the Giants weren't very good, folks, kids. I don't know if you remember this, but so the first Niners game I went to was a Niners game, and I was 18. And I don't really remember a whole lot about it. I do remember tailgating with all my friends who were all older than me. They were all like 20, 22 or whatever. And so they had beer. And I'm like 18 and maybe 19. And I'm drinking a beer. And like a cop comes up and sweats me for drinking a beer at a tailgate. And again, kids, underage drinking is bad. You shouldn't do it. And this officer should have sweated me for drinking a beer at 18 in the parking lot at Candlestick. But I just remember being like, my friends be like, what the hell, man? What are you doing here? Why are you even running up on us like this, man? It's a tailgate. And the game itself, I remember the Niners winning. I remember it was the last Steve Young season, but I can't remember whether it was before or after he got injured. Mm-hmm. It was probably after, though, man, because those tickets were pretty cheap. I remember that also. They're like, oh, the tickets are only like, you know, $30 or some ridiculous price. I'm like, psh, I got that. Hell yeah.
Yeah. Candlestick was something special when it was full, and it was a terrible place, you know, and it was miserably cold, and, you know, we do have some fond memories of it, but especially for baseball, but football also. When that place got full, it made a really, really cool sound, right? There was a roar that came out of that place. Now, I don't know how many people were there when you were there for that game, but when Candlestick was full, it really had a real special atmosphere.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, so the other thing is that I had season tickets for the last four seasons of Candlestick, right? Like, after that experience at 18, I stepped my game up. And by the time I was in my late 20s, like, I'm like, all right, season tickets, man. I'm cashing out for it every year. So me and my sister, we had four seats total, and we went to a whole bunch of games. And it was magical. And Whitey, these were the Mike Nolan – these are the Mike Nolan. Well, actually, no, it was the Singletary years into the first two Harbaugh years. Okay, wow. So this is a magical time. That NFC Championship game where Colin Kaepernick ran for like 743,000 yards against the Packers.
Yeah.
Like I was there watching that happen.
Wow.
Right? It was epic. It was epic, and it was magic. And one thing about, I don't know if you ever had season tickets to a team, Whitey, but one thing that about season ticket holders is you sit in the section, and usually your entire section is all season tickets holders. And I don't know any of these people. I haven't talked to them since the days that we were season ticket holders together, right? But that section of people becomes your fam, right? Like, if somebody doesn't show up and someone's like, hey, that's Dave's seat. It's like, oh, Dave sold a seat. I was like, okay, Dave better have sold you a seat, because ain't nobody taking my guy Dave's seat off in here, Whitey, okay? You know, you kind of get this family atmosphere with complete strangers, and you see these people eight times a year, and you don't share social media information. You don't call each other, whatever. But when you walk into that stadium, man, that is your stadium fam, and Candlestick was beautiful for that. I don't know if that's universal. But Candlestick, you had that vibe, man. Your section with other season ticket holders, man, those are your peeps. Those are your people.
Absolutely. On the text line here from the 415, this is Don in San Francisco. My first 49er game was at Kezar, played Washington. Sonny Jurgensen was their quarterback. We won 26-17. I got to experience the beer cans and apples from the end zone seats. Thank you for sharing, Don. Just to complete the thread on Aaron Rodgers, I don't know, you know, if Aaron Rodgers came here, wouldn't the 49ers still be dealing with everything that is Aaron Rodgers? I mean, if they were winning, you'd have a honeymoon, but I think he's just going to be, he seems to me to be one of those guys, he's just going to be unhappy ultimately wherever he is, Shamari. I don't want that. Look how well Jimmy has handled this uncertainty compared to the way Aaron Rodgers has handled the situation in Green Bay. And I know it's a little different, but still, Aaron Rodgers has been so, they draft another quarterback, and they didn't draft who I want. And Jimmy's been like, what? You're doing what? Do I still have a chance to start? All right. And I'm sure we're going to hear about this down the road, how Jimmy really feels. But I think it's very admirable the way Jimmy has handled this. And I don't think Aaron Rodgers would handle it as well.
Yeah, but Aaron Rodgers wouldn't be getting replaced. The only scary thing about Aaron Rodgers is that will we still be stuck with Mike Nolan as head coach? Because Aaron Rodgers, you don't get fired if Aaron Rodgers, I mean, I guess Mike McCarthy did, right? But generally speaking, Aaron Rodgers equals job security for a head coach.
And if he's not your fan, he gets coaches fired.
That is also true. And again, if he got Mike Nolan fired, great. It's fine with me, man. I mean, Singletary also, as much as I still love Singletary, I still feel Harbaugh doesn't come in and has the immediate success he has without Singletary establishing the culture that existed already. Here's the thing, man. And I'm not – are you a nice guy's finish last, Whitey? Because I'm not. I am not a nice guy's finish last at all. However, something's to be said, and I told this story 1,000 times and on the radio to people in the streets, to my family, to my girlfriend. Like, people are sick of hearing the story if you listen to me. But the story where they picked Alex Smith because he did the stupid drill, meaningless drill a million times, and Aaron Rodgers like, what the hell is this? I'm Aaron Rodgers. Like, maybe there's something to that. Nice guys do not finish last. All you nice guys out there, as a nice guy, we don't finish last, okay? We kind of finish in the middle and, you know, wherever we finish. but we don't finish last. And maybe there's something to be said about Aaron Rodgers' prickly demeanor that gives him that edge that you see on the field, where the same thing that makes you be like, what is this stupid drill you have me running here, Mike Nolan? I'm out of here, is the same thing that gives him the gusto to heave the ball 50 yards down the field and hit a big play. Because Jimmy, man, he's like, oh, I don't want to make any waves. And maybe that same thing that says I don't want to make waves makes him hold the ball when he looks down the field. And he's like, well, gosh, I don't want to blow it here. Let me just check it down.
Well, yeah, that's why Aaron Rodgers has won all those Super Bowl. Download the Odyssey app and favorite 95.7 The Game to get breaking news updates as well as links to the top interviews and best moments on the game. Powered by DuckDuckGo, privacy simplified. Here's what's coming up. Which 49er is due for a bust-out game tonight? We'll find out from Kron's Kylan Mills. She joins us next. Shamari Block and me, Whitey Gleason, on 95.7 The Game.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.